And finally, adults, at least most of the time, are not large children, okay? And people were, I think, a little stunned that when the initial immunogenicity studies were done in adults, the truth of the matter is that adults respond just as well to the polysaccharide vaccine as they do to Prevnar. Okay, we were expecting it to be much better, but it's not much better. And it's a little bit confusing because when you do standard EIA titers, which measure total antibody, things look a little better. But when you test for what we believe to be most associated with immunity, the opsonophagocytic antibody, there is no difference between your response to polysaccharide vaccine and Prevnar if you're an adult. And the reason opsonophagocytic antibodies are important for pneumococcal disease is this issue of the need for your polymorphonuclear leukocytes, your phagocytes, to opsonize bacteria in the bloodstream. And you can see in the top corner a bunch of leukocytes where there's either complement or antibody, but not both. And those little pneumococci, and down in the bottom there's a magnification, so you can see the capsule around them. The capsule on the pneumococci, which is the polysaccharide antigen, protects the pneumococci from being taken up by phagocytes. And if you want them to be taken up by phagocytes, you have to add opsonophagocytic antibody and complement. And not all antibody is opsonophagocytic antibody. Part of the reason for highlighting this for you is over the next little while there's going to be a lot of discussion about immunogenicity in pneumococcal vaccines, because that's how we're going to judge new pneumococcal vaccines. And it becomes very complicated because you always have to look at both the total, as you measure it by EIA, and the opsonophagocytic antibody. So when we introduced conjugate vaccines, it became obvious fairly quickly that they weren't going to be much good for adults as individuals. But it also turned out that they're brilliant at protecting adults when you give them to children. In Canada, where we introduced the conjugate vaccines later than the United States, we're still seeing a substantial amount of PCV7 invasive pneumococcal disease in adults. But if you look at the most recent ABC data, now 10 years out from the introduction of Prevnar in the United States, the adult reductions in PCV7 serotype disease are above 90% in every adult age group. So it's really beginning to look like, if you just give it enough time, that you can functionally eradicate serotypes of disease in adult populations by vaccinating children. Now, I think we still need to see, we've seen it in one country, we still need to see it in some other countries, and Canada is second, and so it's really important that we be looking for it. But it really does look like, if you give it enough time, if you just vaccinate children, you lose the disease in adults. We saw that with Haemophilus influenza type B. We didn't care about it so much. We were watching it so carefully. But it happened, and it looks like it's going to happen with PCV7. It's also beginning to look like you do see some impact on pneumonia in adults from pediatric vaccination programs. This, of course, is much more difficult data to interpret because of the issues in the diagnosis of pneumonia, but this is Carlos Grijalva's paper looking at reductions in hospital admission for pneumonia in the United States after PCV7, and it does look like you get some reduction in pneumococcal pneumonia from pediatric vaccines. So where do we sit now with adult vaccines? Well, the new child on the block is going to be Prevnar 13. And the big question is, what are we going to do in adults when Prevnar 13 becomes available? And the first question is, well, what's it going to do for adult invasive pneumococcal disease? And these two pie charts show you the distribution of disease existing now in Toronto and in Calgary due to serotypes by vaccine type. So the light blue are serotypes that are included in both the polysaccharide vaccine and in PCV13. The bigger component in Calgary is explained by the serotype 5 outbreak that was going on there and is still contributing to the 2007 data. But otherwise, they look fairly similar. PCV13 then has the addition of 6A, and you can see that there the contribution of 6A. And then you get about 20% additional coverage from the polysaccharide vaccine, and some number between 11% and 21% of strains that are not covered in either vaccine. So this begins to look like a conjugate vaccine program in adults will achieve about the same reduction in the short term as a polysaccharide vaccination program, maybe a little bit lower if they're of equal efficacy in the short term. It's going to make life very difficult because the questions are going to be, first of all, what's the duration of efficacy? Remember that PCV13 is going to be much more expensive than polysaccharide vaccines. You're talking about a vaccine that's 10 times as expensive for the same short-term impact. Why would we do that, right? We're only going to do that if we have some evidence to believe that it's going to be of longer duration, that there's not going to be hyper-responsiveness, all those questions that we don't actually have answers to. So the challenge is going to be to try to find the answers to those questions so that we know what to do about invasive pneumococcal disease. Second question is, what's it going to do for pneumococcal pneumonia without bacteremia? Okay, this question may actually save us from having to do all the work on invasive pneumococcal disease. Remember that because the rate of invasive pneumococcal disease has been decreasing in association with vaccination programs, the rate of pneumococcal pneumonia is now 15 or 20 times the rate of invasive pneumococcal disease. It's got a significant case fatality ratio, so most of the serious morbidity in adults is now pneumococcal pneumonia. And it's possible that the conjugate vaccine will provide you better protection against pneumonia than a polysaccharide vaccine. Remember, the EIA titers are a little higher, and you need higher titers to protect you from pneumonia. So maybe the conjugate vaccine will protect adults from pneumococcal pneumonia. Wyeth is, in fact, betting on it. Okay, they're currently running a vaccination trial in the Netherlands with 30,000 adults. They got a little more than half of them randomized this year, so the results aren't going to be available until 2011 sometime. But in 2011, we will know whether Prevnar 13 protects adults from pneumococcal pneumonia. The answer to that trial is positive. It's most likely that we will move to Prevnar 13 programs for adults. There will obviously still be issues about cost effectiveness, but if you had a vaccine that had a demonstrated reduction in the rate of pneumococcal pneumonia in adults, that would clearly be something that we would want in our programs. If it's not effective, then we'll be back to the arguments about hyporesponsiveness with polysaccharide vaccine and duration of protection, the more complicated arguments about what the benefits are from invasive pneumococcal disease. There are now a series of questions about what we're going to see. It is important to remember that we expect the extended conjugate vaccines to work, but these are vaccines that are licensed on immunogenicity, so we're going to need to see that they protect against the additional serotypes as well as they did against the first seven. It obviously makes a difference to adult vaccinations how effective you can be at eradicating adult disease with pediatric vaccinations. If we're going to get rid of everything that's in PCV13 in adults with pediatric vaccine, well, who cares about that vaccine in adults, right? And maybe the important questions are, should we be doing catch-up programs in kids to get a bigger, faster impact in adults? Okay, we're going to get faster herd immunity if we run catch-up programs in children. Are we better off with four doses? Are we going to get faster herd immunity if we run four-dose pediatric programs and three-dose pediatric programs? Don't know, but we have the opportunity to find out. The last question is about what's going to happen with serotype replacement. Are we really going to get into trouble with shifting serotypes? And here is the last slide. This is TIBDN data. And just look at the blue line on that graph. It doesn't look terrible at the moment, but there's been about an 80% increase in disease due to non-vaccine serotypes over the last 6 years in Toronto. Still, obviously, much less than the benefit in reductions from PCV7 serotype disease that we've seen due to the herd effect from kids, but enough that we obviously need to be concerned in the long run. Just as Ian has been dreaming about a universal flu vaccine that you only get once, it'd be really good to have a pneumococcal vaccine that didn't have to be based on capsular antigens. Those remain elusive. There's an ongoing series of protein vaccines for strep pneumo that come and go over time, and there's not, in my view, anything that looks more promising now than there was 5 or 6 years ago, but we live in hope maybe one of them will solve our problem in the long run. Thank you.